Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Season, especially in a presidential year, will Donald Trump get four more years and be the fourth president to be back-to-back? Or does Joe Biden reside at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue? Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, as we get into a shortened week for most people as they were celebrating Labor Day, hopefully safely with their family and friends. I know it's been tough weather-wise in California. We feel you. 2 million acres burned to a crisp. The weather with the high temperatures, 110, 115 degrees in some places, and the winds not helping matters. I mean, the great state of California really taking the brunt of a tough, tough season. So much of that started by lightning strikes weeks ago. Lightning strikes sometimes twice when it comes to running for president when you already hold the gig, and that's what the president and the people around him that are boosting the campaign are hoping. Joe Biden wants to take that away. So we've got these presidential debates that are set up that before you know it, they're going to be here, and it's going to be intriguing to watch on September 29th and then again on October 15th and the 22nd. But there were swipes that are being taken at each other, and this is nothing new. And certainly over the Labor Day holiday, there were more opportunities, I suppose, for that. So the president described Biden, whom he's trailing in some national polls, as a threat to the economy and stupid. He said stupid. He's stupid. While Biden decided that Trump's reporting of disparaging of fallen troops, rather, was accurate and said that he is not a competent person. He is calling soldiers suckers and losers. Now, the president pushed back against that. It was a report in The Atlantic that said he referred to fallen soldiers as suckers and losers. He says it's a hoax. And this story, of course, is dominating news cycles for days on end. And there are a lot of veterans, military folks, who are a key voting bloc for the president. And he said, listen, this is a hoax. There's nobody that has more respect for not only our military, but for people that gave our lives in the military. So the president is out at rallies, and Biden is also doing the same thing here and there, and refers to his son, Beau Biden, who served in Iraq as a member of the Delaware National Guard, died of brain cancer in 2015, and he said Beau wasn't a loser or a sucker. He served with heroes. So Biden was in Pennsylvania on Monday to kick off a travel schedule to the battleground states this week. And you're going to see some crisscross, I think, of both of them in some of these areas. Opinion polls are showing the race is actually, with less than 60 days to go, kind of tightening. I mean, we're getting closer and closer. Look, we've got the pandemic. We have civil unrest over racism, police brutality. That's getting a lot of attention. All of that's getting attention. And Biden is using that to maintain his edge in what he's talking about with Trump and saying he's an ineffectual leader. He thrives on chaos and has left the working class behind. And Trump is saying this guy is a dummy. He's not qualified. He sticks his foot in his mouth all the time. Trump said that if Biden were elected, the Democrat would mandate another economic shutdown to deal with the coronavirus pandemic. He said Biden's plan for the China virus is to shut down the entire U.S. economy. He'd be laying off tens of millions of workers and causing countless deaths from suicide, substance abuse, depression, heart disease, and other illnesses. So the president is going to visit North Carolina, Florida, Michigan, and Pennsylvania later in the week. All are crucial to either candidate's chances of victory. If you just crunch numbers in different ways, that's exactly what you'll see. Pennsylvania is the home state of Biden. Polls in Pennsylvania, where Trump narrowly won in 2016, have put Biden in the lead, but the margin is, you know, 4 percentage points, down from about 8 in June. So this is a state, I think, where both of them are going to be playing there a lot in trying to sway the voters and pull those numbers in. And we're going to hear those continuing themes that I said. So I'm looking forward to what happens on the 29th. And those two other dates in October that I mentioned when it comes to the presidential debates, to see what they do when we're not doing this on Twitter, or it's the rhetoric that's thrown out, you know, it's bouncing off of masks, basically what happens in this face-to-face situation with the two of them. I enjoy that anyway. To me, that's part of it, is to see what happens with the moderators and how they handle it and how they try to keep things on track, and then what happens in the responses. There's only one VP debate, and that's October 7th. California. I mentioned this just briefly. I got to give it its due. The fires in California, more than 2 million acres. I said that number, I'm sure. I mean, it just incredible weather that is not conducive to trying to put the fires out, whether it's in the north or it's in the south. Intense heat, just parched conditions. I mean, terrible, like cracked earth, and high winds. They talk about the Santa Ana winds. I lived in California. I've seen it. What's so scary is it's Labor Day weekend. We're coming through Labor Day weekend. So you had about 150 people just completely isolated, trapped. 10 were actually injured at the Monmouth Pool campground because flame blocked the only road that you could get out. I mean, that's it. So you had trees that were falling, people that were trapped and were struggling to try to figure out how can they get out. You had helicopters that pulled about 200 plus people safely away from the flames because they were so close in the Sierra National Forest, and they were able to save a town that's kind of cool called Shavers. But the fire surrounding that campground destroyed 30 homes in a popular area called Big Creek. So this goes back from 3 weeks ago, where you had 12,000 lightning strikes that sparked about 24 major fires. And that led to the tens of thousands of acres and the destroyed houses and the thousands of people who, you know, had to flee. September and October are the worst fire months. It's not a surprise that there's fires. It's just how many. And in trying desperately to get them out, how tough that is. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk to a judge in California, a retired judge, who led quite a life in the courtroom. And he's going to talk all about crazy people in court. Next, stay with us.
Attention radio listeners, if you're concerned about the coming chaos after the November elections, this will be an extremely important message. Here's why. No matter what the outcome in November, catastrophic social upheaval is a very real possibility. Here's why this is important. Listen, we all know that silver and gold have been historic hedges against the uncertain waves of social chaos and unstable currencies. But did you know that there's been times in the past, during times of extreme extreme hardship when Americans put another store of value above even silver and gold? It's true, open pollinated seeds have been and could very well be the ultimate store of value in the coming hard times ahead. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com to get heirloom seeds below wholesale. Visit SurvivalSeedBank.com this week and get hundreds of dollars in free bonuses. Beat the coming chaos, beat rising food prices, but above all, don't wait. Beat the crowds by claiming your own Survival Seed Bank today.
The battle of late stage or terminal illness is a fight that affects everything and everyone in your life. If you or a loved one are dealing with advanced stage conditions that are causing financial hardship, like stage 3 or stage 4 cancer, Alzheimer's, COPD, or ALS, then this message is for you. Our Funds for Living program make it a simple 3-step process. Text the word LIVE to 411-411 or visit fifthseasonfinancial.com/radio and we'll send you a link to get started. Choose the amount of money you need. Apply in seconds. That's it. And you're under no obligation. Fifth Season will advance a portion of your life insurance policy and take over your premium payments so you can provide immediate financial relief to the ones you love, all without any out-of-pocket expenses. Fifth Season Financial wants to help you live your best life. Text LIVE to 411-411. Text the word LIVE to 411-411.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Well, I've got a good news that'll knock you out. I just got my check and I'm gonna shout. I waited for my money for oh so long. Gonna have all this a whole night long. Yes, I'm gonna rock. I'm gonna roll. I'm gonna bop. Bet your soul. I'm gonna rock. Till the law says stop.
Pleased to have on the show Judge Robert Coates. He's written a book called Crazy People in Court, and he would know he spent so much of his life in court as a judge, and he's told me some very funny stories and very poignant stories off the air in our conversation off the air, and I am happy to introduce him to you. And this book is interesting because it really looks at things through a judge's perspective and from a human perspective. Judge, thanks for jumping on the show.
Well, you bet. I'm happy to be here.
So, first of all, let's talk about your career and how you ended up as a judge and how long you sat on that bench.
Well, when I became an attorney, I joined the trial lawyers, and pretty soon I was a trial lawyer. And as the years passed, I became a leader in the trial lawyers, and I began teaching at the law school and writing articles. And pretty soon I kind of looked like a judge. So the trial lawyers pushed me toward the governor, and the governor appointed me. That was 12 years after I became an attorney. And then I was a judge for 28 years.
Wow, for 28 years. And what an accomplishment, really. As you said, the governor appointed you, but to get there so quickly. I mean, in my mind, I've talked to other people, that's pretty quick after being a lawyer for 12 years. So you obviously had built a reputation for yourself. Am I right?
That's for other people to judge, but I did start looking like a judge.
That's your reference to that. I love it. So let's talk about why you wrote this book. Why did you write the book Crazy People in Court?
Well, I was asked to make a speech to a Mensa convention, and I made that speech about interesting cases I had, And they kept me over for an additional hour and a half. And I thought, my gosh, you know, people are interested in these stories. So why don't I write them down? And I had experience as an author already. And so I began keeping all the interesting notes of interesting cases. And pretty soon I had a book.
And it is a very, very good book. It really keeps your attention all the way through. And one of the stories that you talk about is Sergeant Major Ninja. We're not going to tell the listeners everything, but tell them about Sergeant Major Ninja.
This guy showed up with a very able public defender, and the public defender asked for a chambers conference, which was unusual. In a misdemeanor case, it was a jury trial requested. So I went into chambers, and the attorney said, "Judge, my client's going to take the stand. He's going to waive jury, and he's going to chat with you. And as soon as he trusts you, he will tell you who he really is." So I went back out into the courtroom, and sure enough, this guy took the stand. And he told me who he was, which was that he was the commander-in-chief. And he had ordered himself to do a study of the cocaine use in San Diego. And so that's how he wound up with the charges against him. And, and he asked me if I noticed what kind of shoes he had on, and I had not, and they were ninja shoes. And it turned out that he wanted to be called Sergeant Major Ninja. He had a Marine Corps Sergeant Major's jacket on with an extra stripe indicating that he was the commander in chief.
Wow.
And so this guy pled guilty. And I put him on probation and ordered him to keep doing all the things that the public defender had gotten him organized into, seeing a psychiatrist, going to group meetings, staying in the group home, et cetera, and bring me written proof that he had been doing those things for a couple of times. So the first time he was supposed to have the proof, he arrived late. And he came in the door, and I was already engaged on another jury trial. And he showed me that he had some papers. He pointed at them, and I pointed at my bailiff, and he took the papers over and gave them to my bailiff. Meanwhile, the jury trial is droning on, and my bailiff gave the papers to my clerk, and my clerk gave them to me, and I looked them over. And everything was in order. So I gave the thumbs up sign to Sergeant Major Ninja, and he went to the door, and he waited till nobody was looking at him, and he saluted me. And I saluted him back, which I thought was very cool because it was the executive saluting the judiciary and the judiciary saluting the executive back.
I'm glad you told us that story. That's just one of those gems out of your book that there's no doubt about it. One of the things that you told me in our conversation off the air was that the courts are magnets for people with mental disorders. And, I mean, that's got to be tough. And when you're a judge and you're in that position, you're trying to figure out, right, what the best move is.
That's right. And you don't always know. Shakespeare had Hamlet say, "There are more things in heaven and earth than are dreamt of in your philosophy, Horatio." And I found that that was true for me as a judge. There were constantly big surprises, things that I never dreamed of.
Yeah, that you had a rule on, that you had to make decisions on. And if the cases that you presided over, you know, now we see how the system is, and people complain, and there's such a backlog, and then we've had laws of frivolous lawsuits. And do you think that's good to have some more of that oversight that, hey, sometimes people are filing lawsuits even, or sometimes people are brought into court that really shouldn't be brought into court? Did you feel that way after all those years on the bench, that there were things that could have been prevented?
Of course. But that's part of the dues we pay society for having a justice system at all.
Yeah, boy, that is true, isn't it? Because I tell people when they complain, well, in England, you're guilty until proven innocent. So can you imagine? We have a different system, obviously, innocent until proven guilty. How rewarding was it for you to be a judge for 28 years?
I was thrilled and overjoyed to be it every single minute. I love touching people, having an influence on them, and sometimes a major influence.
And so when you say major influence, some of the people that came through where you ordered them certain things to get help in certain areas and then they came through it, that's what you're talking about, right? People that were able to get back on the right side, people that were able to get their lives together.
Yes, that's part of it. But another part of it is simply my communication directly with the person, that I think that was therapeutic often, because people are taught to trust a judge. And so here I was, kind of like the little man and behind the curtain in The Wizard of Oz, expecting people to understand me and respect what I have to say.
Yeah, that's a good, I like that description. And again, we're speaking with Judge Robert Coates, who now is retired, but he's written a book called Crazy People in Court. And I can only imagine that you were a fantastic mentor. Have you mentored those in the legal system?
Of course. I'm still doing it. I started a law firm after I retired, and I'm mentoring several attorneys in the law firm.
Wow, that's fantastic, because that can put them on the right course. What do you hope the impact of your book is on the people who read it?
I hope they come away with a more open mind and with curiosity about what they might find, not just in the justice system, but in society in general.
Yeah, that's very well put. I think it's just the perfect place to end this. And you can get the book on Amazon.com, Crazy People in Court, Judge Robert Coates. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi. I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach, at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
U.S. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
At a news conference, President Trump said he would support an investigation into allegations leveled against Postmaster General Louis DeJoy.
Let the investigations go, but he's a very respected man. Postmaster General is appointed by a bipartisan commission, and we'll see how that goes. But no, I think he's a very honest guy, but we'll see.
The president also said he would support DeJoy's removal if it's proven that he engaged in any illegal behavior.
Yes, something could be proven that he did something wrong. Always, you know, always. They've been looking at me for 4 years. They found nothing.
The Washington Post reported that five people who worked for New Breed Logistics, where LeJoy was chairman and CEO for 31 years, said they were urged by DeJoy's aides or by the chief executive himself to write checks and attend fundraisers at his Greensboro mansion. The president said he doesn't know much about the story. This is USA Radio News. At least 11 cases of COVID-19 have been traced to a fraternity party where people did not follow the public health guidelines, according to the president of the University of New Hampshire. More than 100 students and non-students attended the August 29th party at the Theta Chi fraternity. The fraternity was suspended while the investigation is conducted, and the school is disciplining the organizers and the attendees. All members of the frat will also undergo a 14-day quarantine. Any other students who attended the party are also asked to immediately start quarantining. In just 1 month, the number of confirmed coronavirus cases in India has doubled from 2 million to over 4 million. That puts the Asian giant right behind the United States as the second worst affected country in the world, and they may pass the United States within the next few days. The Indian government reported 90,800 new cases, pushing the total number to over 4,200,000. This is USA Radio News.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
I've talked about on the show many times the homeless problem that we have in the United States, but more importantly, understanding the individual, that part of it, the individual and what they're going through, and how do you relate. And there's so many wonderful organizations, but I think a lot of times that rope that people are trying to hand out, somehow it doesn't get it right there into the hands because there's a miscommunication or something that isn't understood. So somebody who is unlocking so much of that has written a brilliant book. It's called Helping the Homeless. And her name is Tina Babcock. She joins us now. Tina, thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
So you've had an interesting life yourself. You were a radio personality, a TV producer, a waitress, a social worker, a store clerk, and then, of course, an advocate for battered women and children, which I think is so important, too. And then it leads you down this road of helping the homeless, and where you had a job as an executive director of the Ann Douglas Center. So tell us what that was like.
Well, it was really an interesting experience. I actually loved it, but I was recruited. I really never thought I would see myself working in what's called a rescue mission. And I think I didn't really even understand what they were when I was first recruited. I had just finished getting a bachelor's degree in psychology. I was doing a work in a church. I was doing marriage groups and counseling. And one of the congregants said, oh, there's this job you should apply for. It mixes your psychology and your ministry experience as a chaplain with the Los Angeles Mission. And I thought of rescue missions as being smelly, dirty places. I wasn't too interested, but I prayed about it, and I really felt like I needed to, you know, just kind of walk through the door and see what happened. And so that launched me into a decade of working in the heart of Skid Row, Los Angeles, with the homeless. And I learned so much from the people that I worked with and the people that came for services, changed a lot of my thinking. I come from a very traditional, conservative background. People sometimes assume I'm a liberal just because I work with the homeless.
Right.
But it was extremely rewarding, and I had to learn to give up a lot of preconceived ideas.
So that's exactly what's so powerful, that what we talked about, what I said, I feel like that's where the miscommunication comes in, because there you are. I mean, you're in the heart of L.A. Skid Row. How do you relate to those people? How do you really help those people and give them the kind of right responses? And you learned all of that, didn't you?
I did. I learned my background. One of the advantages I had was I had been what they call a Navy brat. My dad was a career military guy in the Navy, and I moved around a lot, and I met people in all different states in the United States, and, you know, we're diverse as Americans, and I learned in that process to just meet people where they are and try to be accepting and see them person to person. And that crosses cultural boundaries, language boundaries, ethnic boundaries. You know, a person is a person is a person is a person.
Right.
And so being a white woman in a predominantly Black and Hispanic group of employees and people receiving services, they had a lot of preconceptions about me as well. And so you only dispel those by exposure, by being around somebody over a period of time. And we had an interesting group that came and volunteered with the Andoga Center. We had a 27-bed residential program where women lived with us for a year. And so during that year, they were pretty much confined to the mission. They worked in the mission. So they had their birthdays there. They had any kind of recreational things, you know, happen there. And so we brought volunteers in. We ran a group of women from Bel Air Presbyterian Church. If anybody knows Bel Air, it is, you know, one of the wealthiest communities in the country. And the congregants, you know, many of them were very, very wealthy people. And they got recruited to come in and help volunteer, and they would just come for bingo. And I was amazed at how transformative it was, both for the women who came to play bingo with the women that were in residence and the women that were in residence. And what happened was the preconceived ideas went away when they played a game together. They were just people together having fun. And the women who were trying to rebuild their lives and had so much shame and so just felt so cast off by society had these people that they had kind of put up on a pedestal, found out they were just people too. And the acceptance that was exchanged between the two changed both parties in fabulous ways. I had the pastor of the women's group for that church, which was a huge church, said that her women's group had been transformed by the experience of this volunteering. And they didn't bring food. They didn't, you know, clothes. They did later. They volunteered in lots of ways. But initially, they just played bingo. So there's lots of ways to impact somebody who's trying to recover from something that is so demoralizing. They have a lot of self-doubt and sometimes self-hatred that has to be eliminated.
Yeah, so I think, you know, there's no doubt that this would be a great, just for anyone to read, but certainly a valuable resource for any rescue missions, anybody dealing with the homeless population whatsoever. What do you hope people take away from reading your book, Helping the Homeless, which we should say you can get on Amazon.com under Chaplain T.M. Babcock. What do you hope they take away from it?
That homelessness is a broad category. It is a large group of people with diverse needs, and there isn't one fix, one size fits all. And if you're really going to make a difference, you need to become informed, because you can make it worse instead of better. So I want people to realize that your part might be to help somebody who an organization that's equipped to discern what the needs are. And also, if everybody who's listening to this program can stop falling into a trap of dehumanizing people that they perceive as homeless. Almost all of us know somebody who is or has been or is a candidate to become homeless, and we don't even know it. They're just people who need help, and the kind of help they need changes. It's different for different people. So it might be mental illness, it might be an addiction, it might be domestic violence, it might be they're just displaced because of a natural disaster. Their house burned down. They got older and all their living relatives have died already and they don't have that safety net. It's complex, but seeing them as people, and they're not saints and they're not villains. They're the gamut of society.
Wow. I like the way you said that. They're the gamut of society. That's the hashtag for sure. And you're absolutely right to remember that everybody's people and they fall into different circumstances. So for you, it has to be rewarding that you were able to help people. When you know somebody gets back on their feet or something changes and you hear of that, how does that make you feel?
Oh, it's awesome. I have a lot of people that still keep in touch with me via Facebook, and I see at different events. And to see the growth and the healing keep going, and I get to see them over many, many years, and they become advocates too, and they become people that step in and help others. And that, to see that multiplied is just so very exciting.
Yeah, I bet. Hey, one last quick one. So I mentioned that you were the executive director of the Ann Douglas Center. I've heard wonderful things about Ann Douglas. She was a very giving, wonderful person. Is that true?
Oh, absolutely. And one of the things she understood that was very important is that environment takes volume to how you value a person. So the Ann Douglas Center was the cleanest, the most beautiful place. It was run like Anne always said, I want a place that I'm comfortable being in. And so she made sure that we had the resources to make the place beautiful, and that the clean floors and fresh paint and those sorts of things make a person feel valued. And it really elevates their desire to do better, to embrace the change. The worst thing, the reason I thought rescue missions were dirty is I saw some that were. And a lot of people think someone who's homeless, well, they should just be grateful they got a roof over their head. But how would you feel
right
if you went into a place that was dirty and had roaches and, many of the people that are on the street can stay on the streets instead of going into shelters or temporary housing. They'll tell you sometimes, well, I'm not one of those people.
Right.
Or that they're scared to be around those people.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of our veterans that are out there. They won't go into a place like that because they're not one of them.
Yeah. Yep, that's a great lesson, absolutely. We got to fly. This was a great interview. Tina Babcock, you can learn from this, Helping the Homeless. Pick it up on Amazon.com. Thank you.
Thank you, Kate.
supertea.com. Powdy Arco Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
With a MechTech carbine conversion unit, you can turn an XD Family Glock or 1911 handgun into a carbine rifle in seconds and have it shipped right to your door, no FFL required. Now, MechTech is excited to announce our pistol carbine conversion unit. More compact with a 12-inch barrel and an arm brace, proving once again that MechTech is the world's most versatile handgun accessory. For a limited time, go to handgunconversions.com. That's handgunconversions.com and use coupon code RADIO to receive $35 off any carbine purchase.
Attention radio listeners, if you're concerned about the coming chaos after the November elections, this will be an extremely important message. Here's why. No matter what the outcome in November, catastrophic social upheaval is a very real possibility. Here's why this is important. Listen, we all know that silver and gold have been historic hedges against the uncertain waves of social chaos and unstable currencies. But did you know that there's been times in the past, during times of extreme hardship, when Americans put another store of value above even silver and gold? It's true, open pollinated seeds have been and could very well be the ultimate store of value in the coming hard times ahead. Go to survivalseedbank.com to get heirloom seeds below wholesale. Visit survivalseedbank.com this week and get hundreds of dollars in free bonuses. Beat the coming chaos, beat rising food prices, but above all, don't wait, beat the crowds by claiming your own survival seed bank today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Of this book, Dove, How Love Captured My Heart. Diane Cato joins us. She's in our virtual green room. Thanks so much for coming on, Diana.
Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about the book. First of all, what drove you to write this novel?
I really was going through some stuff. I had lost my dad, and I was going through a divorce, and just kind of, you know, in my own thoughts at that time, you know, and I decided to sit down and write a book to escape a lot of stuff.
So when you sat down to write the book and that was the intent, I'm going to just kind of get out of my head, get it on paper, write this novel, was that cathartic? Did that lift you up?
Yes, it did, because I put some of me in the book. And yeah, it really did help to release a lot of stress.
The character Dove is a young woman who lives in a rural area in Ethiopia. How'd you come up with that storyline?
Because basically I'm from a small area, a small town, and Dove is somewhat like I am. So I put it in a small area, in a small rural area, so I could know, keep my thoughts together. I didn't want anything big.
I got you. That makes sense to me. So, and there's people listening to us who have been fortunate enough to spend time in rural areas. And a lot of times that's an escape for people. People are from there, too, as well. And you're right. It's different than if you're in that chaotic bubble of a huge city or a giant suburb somewhere. In the book, what happens, and we don't want to give everything away, but tell us a little bit more about Dove and what the storyline is.
Well, the storyline is basically about her searching for love in the wrong places. And this crusade that normally comes there to Ethiopia every year, and they never got a chance to go because their father always was working. And this particular time, she was out walking in one of the people in a different village. They told her, you know, well, actually asked her if the family was going to the crusade, and she never heard of the crusade, and she asked them. The prophet told her that that love was going to be there, and she was already looking for love, and she didn't really understand who love was, and. She's saying that, yes, she would love to go, but she had to ask her parents if she could go. And if love was going to be there, then of course she wanted to be there.
And I love this, too, because, and we can give this away. You're going to love this character, people. Destiny. So the name is Dove and Destiny. It doesn't get much better than that. And that's such a big word for me. And she does meet somebody. And you take us through what that story is like. When you finished the novel, how did you feel? Did you feel good about that?
Yeah, I felt real relief because, like I said, what I was going through and the time that it taken me to write the book, yes, I was back to myself by that time. But, Dove met Destiny, you know, and her destiny was there waiting for her all the time. But she actually thought that individual person was, you know, what she really needed. But her destiny actually was Christ when she got to the crusade.
Right, exactly. And so that's, she didn't know it, and then she found it, and it was a whole different life for her after that. And the name of the book, again, is Dove, How Love Captured My Heart. Diana Smith Cato is the author that we're speaking to. And, you know, people talk about writing books, and then they just never do it. So congratulations on that. What do you hope that people take away from reading your book? What do you hope the impact is of the novel?
I really hope people find their destiny because when you start looking for love in the wrong places, the real love is just right there at your door. You know, when he knocks, just let him in.
There you go. I like that. When he knocks, let him in. And for you, I mean, you were a single mom with two boys and, you know, out of Houston, Texas, and then you moved on to other things and you took us through some of what happened there. And with the boys, how did they feel about their mom writing a book?
Well, actually, the boys really didn't know that I was writing a book, but they also was there with me when I was going through my struggles, you know. And a lot of times they would come in after school, "Are you still sitting here?" I said, "Yeah, I'm still sitting here writing, yeah." You know, and I would read some parts to them and everything. They were just kids, boys. You know, they was just trying to hurry for me to hurry up and read whatever I wanted to read so they can, you know, go outside and play with their friends.
I love that. All right, but now they're getting older, so it's probably a different feeling now. Will you write more books? I bet there's a lot of books in you.
I would love to write more love books. I have a six-book series that I'm working on now called Fresh Oil, Pray for Me. And then there's one single one that I really would like to get on the market, and it's called Hell Found Me. And these are the different projects that I'm working on, as well as a screenwrite for a TV series.
Wow, so you are a prolific writer. You're busy with all your writing.
Oh, I love to write. You know, like I said, what started me to go back to my writing was the death of my father, because when we used to talk all the time, he used to always ask me, when are you going to take care of God's business and he can take care of yours? You know, and I knew what he was talking about. He wanted me to pick up my writing and start back, you know, because of what I was going through with my divorce.
Yeah, and then look, it comes out on the other side, and you come out on the other side, and you come up with this book and all these writing projects that you have. Well, thanks so much for coming on, and congratulations on doing that, taking that leap. And the book, you can get it on Amazon, Dove, How Love Captured My Heart. Diana Smith Cato, that's what you'll find it under. This is the author that we're speaking with. Diana, thanks for coming on the show.
And thank you for having me, Kate.
All right, so once again, this book it's so well written, and I love the story. And, you know, we've been introducing you to the last couple of months a lot of different authors, and because I write, and there's something is cathartic about writing, and I think Diana said that so well, all the things that she was going through, what her father was trying to light the fire underneath her about, and then she did it. And I love that she told us that the two sons, yeah, they're kids, they see her, she's sitting in the same place because she's at it, and she's lost in that, and doing what she wanted to do, figuring out how to take the character and how to write the character. And as I said, Dove is a young woman who lives in rural Ethiopia, and she wants to be married. She's searching for someone to love. She's searching every single day, and she figures out that I got to leave this village. I have to leave the village, and I don't want to tell the whole story, but so how do I leave this village, and where do I go? And then, as Diana said, she didn't know that it was right there all along. And I think when you go through this, you kind of are thinking, wow, what's going to happen next? And that was the feeling that I got. As you move through her book, you're seeing what's going on with this young woman and how she starts to really blossom. And, you know, that's the thing with these stories and being a good storyteller is where do you take us from the beginning and set the scene? And she said it really well. And what kind of a journey are they going on? And then how they come out on the other side? And what was it that they were looking for all along? And what was that mystery? And then what happened there? So I love her story, and I'm not surprised that there's more to come. And we find this with a lot of people, and a lot of the people that I've introduced you to is where are they headed next and what are they working on? Because once you finally, you know, get that taste of, oh, I was going to write a book, I was going to write a novel, I was going to write my story, I was going to tell something fascinating, tell the story of something fascinating I learned, and then you finally sit down to do it. So anybody out there who, like Diana, has that in their mind, boy, I know she would say the same thing, just like her father told her, just go for it. All right, so once again, remember, the book is called Dove, How Love Captured My Heart, Diana Smith Cato. Thanks to all of you for listening to this version of the show. Make it count, everybody. Coronavirus crisis continues. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.